Hello to our listeners. Welcome to the Women Governance Trailblazers podcast, where we listen to the journeys of trailblazing women in the corporate governance field, their passions, struggles, and commitment to improving how companies and boards function. My name is Liz Dunshee, and my co-host, my beautiful co-host, is Courtney Camlett.
Hi, thank you, Liz. Hi, everyone.
Courtney and I are both passionate about governance, and we want to spotlight some of the amazing women who share that passion. We're connecting with guests from different paths and industries to hear their perspectives on what surprised them in their career and where they think the field of corporate governance is going. For this episode, we're talking with Chidam Akhtam. Chidam leads EY's Center for Board Matters in the U.S. Central Region. She launched EY's regional approach to help boards and C-suite executives benefit from the practices of their peers and CBM insights. Chidam is a sought-after speaker and facilitator for board and CEO events around the country, and she is particularly skilled at using the power of storytelling to help leaders ask the right questions. We are very excited to be talking with you today, Chidam. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited about today.
We are too, Chidam. And I especially love the storytelling aspect because that's huge. Your career has had a strong focus on corporate governance with a significant finance background. You have served as CFO, managed governance programs aimed at audit committee chairs of Fortune 500 companies, and now you serve as EY's Regional Leader Center for Board Matters. Tell us about your journey and what you like about what you're doing right now.
I really appreciate that you phrase it as a journey because that's exactly it. And I think most of us have themes that will weave in and out of our journeys. So for me, one major theme has been kind of the interlacing of the what and the who, understanding the nuts and bolts, the systems and processes of organizations in conjunction with the leaders who influence those outcomes through their mindset and their behavior patterns. And then the second major theme, turning insights into actions through storytelling. And insight is something that gets you to understand the world differently. It's a beautiful thing, but it doesn't have value unless it also becomes movement and action. And the best way to get to that is by telling the story of that insight. So I would say that those are kind of the broader themes. My academic studies combined economics and psychology. So it sort of started from there, the what and the who. In terms of my career, as you mentioned, I've had a variety of roles. In broad brushstrokes, I basically spent a decade in roles overseeing syndicated research and delivering the insights to finance and strategy executives and boards. Then eventually I shifted to focus on boards and ran a peer learning-based education program for audit chairs of Fortune 500 companies. I joined EY's Center for Board Matters about 5 years ago to build a role that's focused on connecting the insights from our research, from the thousands of conversations collectively to directors and CEOs and CFOs. And what I appreciate about where I am now is that I get to speak with and learn from smart, experienced leaders and share with them insight and information that enables them to have more impact. And because the world of governance changes so much, there's never a dull moment. So I'm always in a continuous growth and continuous learning mindset. And that is a real privilege.
And I've seen that in action, and it's great to watch and be a part of. So it's wonderful to hear the insights turning into actions.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that is a really good point that insight is not all that valuable without turning it into action. So thank you for sharing that. And you advise both public and private boards, from my understanding, on a wide variety of corporate governance matters. So what have you seen as the greatest governance shifts over the past year or so?
You know, this has been probably, you know, I've been involved with boards, gosh, you know, on and off for 15 years plus. And this, I've never seen it be more dynamic than it is right now in the boardroom. So it's been quite interesting. And a couple of trends that I will particularly call out here. The first is acceleration of board engagement. So with there are new board members being brought in who are coming with different experiences. And this is some of the diversification that's happening on boards. And they're bringing different experiences. Therefore, they're asking different questions of their fellow board members and the management team. And boards themselves are also continuing that deeper engagement that they began by necessity during the early days of the pandemic. So what that translates into is asking not just questions, but then going one or two levels, you know, level two, level three questions. So overall, there is more engagement and more interaction from boards and looking at things like underlying assumptions in a way that they might not have even just a couple of years ago. I think it's a mix of both what boards have been through and some of this injection of new perspectives coming in. The second trend, I would say, is looking at more balancing of compliance and risk versus growth and innovation conversation. So for example, in the Center for Board Matters Board Priority Survey for 2023, we asked directors to rank the priorities on their board agendas, and innovation and new technologies came in at number 3. That wouldn't have been the case even a few years ago. So there are a lot of dynamics that are happening, and it's such an interesting time right now for boards.
Is that second trend on more balancing of compliance and risk versus growth and acceleration just a subset of kind of the environment, COVID, the way that the whole macroeconomic group is struggling?
You're asking whether those are the drivers behind it?
Well, I mean, what do you think? Just because there's been so much change in such a short period of time.
It's been astonishing. I mean, it's dizzying, the changes that we've been subjected to. So just to be very, very clear, boards completely understand their oversight role, the requirements, and what they need to do. And Courtney, you see this day to day. So I'm not suggesting that they're not focused on that. They 100% are. But when I think about shifting that balance a little bit to more conversations about strategy, about innovation, about growth, and also looking at, again, coming back to those underlying assumptions, what are we assuming is going to change in our environment? How do we know if something's changing differently? Gen AI wasn't even on anybody's lips, 8 months ago or whenever it was. And so what that also means, though, is being able to be a little bit more agile and kind of continuous conversation. So strategy discussions used to be once a year offsite, the board would do that deep dive into strategy. Now it's more of that ongoing conversation. And it's just a matter of tipping the balance a little bit from what has been so heavily kind of compliance focused or what the things the board usually covers, and shifting more to having the more ongoing conversations about these dynamic issues. Does that kind of make sense the way that I'm talking through it?
Absolutely. I am definitely seeing more of the strategy being woven in on a continual basis versus sort of like a big meeting at year end or the beginning of the year. And I think a number of companies are that way as well. It also helps to understand the risks of the business and how they're changing.
Absolutely. I mean, as directors will always say, risk and strategy are two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. And then what you're saying about going a layer deeper on some of the questions that the board is asking now, it's absolutely to really understand the strategy. It's not to get involved in the day-to-day, but it's really to understand where the company's coming from, where it's going, and how it's getting there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, boards are very, very clear. They're not crossing that line between the board and management, but being able to understand what are the assumptions that are on the table and digging a little deeper into those to also understand what can change. But that's that balance, and I know we'll talk about this more a little bit later around information, but that balance of time spent, if we think about how condensed board agendas are, shifting by even 15 minutes can be significant for board, just shifting where they're spending those 15 minutes.
Right. That's a great point. I was going to ask too, if you have noticed any differences in how those conversations are handled or in how the time is allocated in boards with different types of composition. Maybe some boards have younger directors compared to other boards, or directors from different backgrounds or with different skill sets. Do you see that board composition affecting this approach to strategy and risk?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, because there's sort of a little bit of what comes first here. So in our boards who are looking to refresh their thinking and they bring in somebody new to the board and they assume that person's going to be the catalyst, that's not always successful, because if you have one person on this page and then the rest of the board is still on the page that they used to be on, it's very difficult for that one person to really be able to influence and make change. But if the board's mindset is changing, that understanding of we need to be thinking a little bit differently, the world is changing, let us bring in some outside perspectives who can contribute to that conversation, I would say those are the kind of distinguishing. So it's not something you solve by just bringing in one new person. I do a lot of onboarding of new directors as well, and, you know, have this conversation with them to make sure that they're aware of the dynamics and they understand what they're walking into. But I suspect that it's kind of a mix, right? When you have new voices in the room, and a lot of directors now are sitting executives, so they have very relevant information, you have current information that they're bringing to this. And so I think it is a little bit of a mix, but it's not purely we're bringing in somebody and that changes the whole conversation. That's really hard to do.
Right.
It may not change the conversation, but it does change the dynamic until the board gets familiar. And, you know, then it kind of goes back to a stasis for a period with the culture of the group.
Well, that's a really interesting observation. I was going to mention this later, but I'll mention it now. When I was, several years ago now, I was speaking with a male executive who was sort of grumbling that when a woman joined a board, all of a sudden she'd be asking more questions. And so the management team would be having to answer more questions. He saw that as a bad thing. I personally see that as a good thing. But yeah, Courtney, to your point, because the board, that's the biggest tool in their toolbox, right? Asking a question. And that's why it matters so much what question you're asking as a board member. And being able to ask that question and help your fellow board members think differently is great as well. And there's so much collegiality. I mean, boards really value collegiality. That can go to an extreme. We just published an article talking about the need to be a little careful about collegiality and how that's used. But nonetheless, directors influence each other, not just the conversation that's happening in the room. So I wonder if, Courtney, that stasis looks a little bit different than pre-person stasis.
Yeah, I think so. But every board is different and all of the personalities are unique. So it's not, you know. So you said you had a psychology degree, and I'm sure you utilize it for this. But what have you found to be effective methods of knowledge sharing or influencing board behavior? And how can day-to-day advisors use storytelling to help boards focus on the most important issues and ask the right questions for their company's unique circumstances?
Well, we were just talking about how important it is, right, to be able to ask those questions. And as humans, we have a very natural tendency to shape our questions and our thoughts in response to the information that's in front of us. And if you think about boards, that can be an overwhelming amount of information. I know you both know that very well. And oftentimes it's presented in sort of a check the box way, right? We have all this information, we're trying to hit all the categories and information, but there's always that information asymmetry. And it comes from the fact that the board, of course, spends much more limited time and has more limited knowledge about the company, but also because they're reacting to what they're given, which may be limited by design, sometimes by management as well. So I always come back to that framework of what, so what, and now what. It's such a practical way of thinking about it. So there's often much more time spent on description of what happened already, the what. And that is the biggest complaint I hear from directors is too much time spent on what's already happened, looking in that rearview mirror, instead of the so what. So that's where the story can get lost on crowded agendas. So pulling forward that story to focus on, because directors read their materials in advance. And now it's about what's the right conversation we need to have in the room in the limited time that we have. And you can't get to the real insight and action without telling the story of what's behind it. A lot of boards these days, of course, ask for executive summaries, but very few ask for actual narratives to have it in narrative form. One of the best tactics I've ever heard was told to me by a director, I don't know, some 15 years ago, who said that they had asked their management team, give us whatever reports you want, that's fine. But the first page is a page paragraph style written out what is happening. Tell us the story. And that alone changed the conversations.
So I've seen that firsthand with boards, the narrative, and it frames the conversation that you'll have, assuming the directors have pre-read the material, so you're not going slide by slide like a management presentation.
Absolutely. And if you think about the most precious item for the board is their time. So being able to use that time wisely by not going over what they already know. And I see a lot of management presentations because I'm in the room waiting to share my information and insight. And I see so many still of, let me walk you through, here's what's happened. It's a recapping of what they already know instead of a, here's what really matters in what you just read. And here's why you care about it. And here's what we're dealing with as a management team. But part of that also has to be the environment that the board sets. So I see a very clear distinction between management teams that feel comfortable coming to the board saying, listen, here's the challenge. We haven't completely figured it out. Here's how we're thinking, versus management teams who really feel like they have to be able to answer every single question. And those are two very different approaches.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting too. You hear a lot and see a lot these days about the attention economy and just in our regular day-to-day lives, but we really should be thinking about that even more so in terms of the board's time and kind of thinking of ourselves maybe as journalists reporting on the high level things on what's going on in the company and telling the story instead of boring write-up.
So back in my CEB days, the corporate executive board, we spent a lot of time. I mean, we spent so much time thinking about what is the story that we're going to tell? What is the research? So the research was just the first half. Then there was the, how do we translate this into something that's actionable? And we spent a lot more time on that than I've ever seen, you know, other organizations do. And as a result of that, it was very, very impactful when we would share the insights. One of my favorite things that I had learned was the 10 pennies exercise. So you walk into a room, assuming you got a stack of 10 pennies, everybody's got 10 pennies. And as you're talking, you're spending those pennies, those mental pennies. So where do you want to spend those mental pennies? Because if you spend them all, and typically what happens, right, the most important item is the last item on the agenda. Mm-hmm. By then, you're down to half a penny. And so instead, doing things like flipping agendas so that the most important discussion to have starting with that and then finishing up the required items at the end. But thinking about that attention, I always think of the 10 pennies exercise. And when I'm talking, I can see those pennies going through. So that's very critical. And we're also at the point where boards really do read all their materials now. I'm not sure that was the case 10 years ago, but it certainly is now.
Yeah. I love that exercise. Great practical advice.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned that you joined EY about 5 years ago, and during that time, EY has significantly built out its Center for Board Matters, I imagine in no small part due to your involvement. So where do you see it progressing?
Well, it's been fun. So I've had the privilege of seeing EY Center for Board Matters get stood up from the outside before I joined the firm. I would interact with CBM, and then joining the firm, I've been able to see it sort of move into its next phase and grow. Our collective approach is really focusing, like I just said, that framework. We focus not just on the what, but the so what. And that's being appreciated more and more by leaders within our firm and leaders in boardrooms around the country. And we've seen a real increase in demand, if you will, for us to share our insights and bring our insights to boardrooms, which is where I spend a lot of my time, is actually meeting with boards and committees, individual directors, as well as CEOs and CFOs to talk about changes and trends in governance, as well as share perspectives from their peers. And I would anticipate we're going to see even more of that because boards are looking to enhance their own effectiveness and really rethinking kind of what they're doing and how, and turning to folks like us. And the beauty of the governance world is there is never a dull moment, as you both know, and the issues are going to continue to be complex, and they're going to call for insight and telling the story of what's happening and why it really matters. So my hope and expectation is that we're going to continue to grow in our own learning. And as we're supporting boards and their management teams, that's going to continue to just grow and evolve into different areas as well, broadening our scope perhaps in terms of what we cover too.
And I really appreciate there's so many publications that talk about the what, but the so what portion of that is huge with the insights. And then now what, right? What do we do about it? What do we need to be looking at, thinking about, augmenting?
Absolutely.
So I will ask you a question that we ask all of our guests, because we think it's a very interesting one and we like to get the range of responses. What do you think women in the corporate governance field can add to the current conversation on the societal role of companies?
So before we started, I mentioned that this struck me as a mighty question, and indeed it is. So I'll just share kind of my thoughts about this, and I look forward to hearing, you know, how others have answered this. Thinking about kind of circling back to our earlier conversation about what happens when you have a new person on the board and the dynamic. So again, as a woman, we often are told lots of things, right? We don't often get to ask questions or use our voices. So really using that voice in the boardroom. And it's interesting because I have talked to so many new directors who get advice that, oh, don't say anything your first few meetings, you know, you're just there to observe. And yet what happens then is their fellow board members go, wow, we thought this person was going to be incredibly impactful. We brought them in. They're not saying anything. So being mindful of that and asking questions that are truly grounded in information and the right information, but feeling free to bring your experiences to ask those questions, I think is incredibly important. And we do seem to be in a time of flux where systems and rules of engagement are being questioned and redefined in ways that are not yet clear. And staying aware of that conversation, particularly, you know, your point here about current conversation on the societal role of companies, that has evolved over time, that will continue to evolve, and understanding what the company's stakeholders or the organization's stakeholders, how they're thinking. So all aspects of stakeholders and staying attuned to that conversation, I think is really important. So it's a rather broad answer to a broad question, but those are kind of the thoughts that have come to my mind in considering this.
And that's really interesting. And we leave it open intentionally because we love to hear everybody's different responses. Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been really great.
It was a real pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for being here. Loved that response and the point about balancing as a new director, listening to gather information, but also being brave enough to bring your experience and ask questions. That's a really important point. So thanks for being here and thanks to everyone who's listening. Please subscribe to Women Governance Trailblazers on whatever platform you use for podcasts, and we would love if you would rate us while you're there. In addition, if anyone out there listening knows a women governance trailblazer who you think would be a great guest on this show, feel free to ping Courtney or me on either LinkedIn or by email. Thanks, everyone.